Good morning. I mentioned this in the announcements, but just want to say again that I'm especially thankful for our missions partners to be with us this morning. Thanks, Sarah, for reading and for others who've been able to join us. And encourage you to stay after. And in the cafeteria, there's bagels and coffee. We'll have a chance to have fellowship together and also a chance to get to know some of the mission partners and learn about the different work that's happening in our city and beyond. So I encourage you to do that after the service. Well, this morning we're going to look at a text from Genesis as we think about missions. Next Sunday, there's a pastor from Haiti that we have a relationship with that's going to be sharing with us. He'll be visiting, Pastor Louis St. Germain. And so I'm not sure what passage he'll be preaching from, but I look forward to that being next Sunday. So this morning we'll look at Genesis and think about missions. But as a way to start that, I want to say that my daughter, Lila, and I have been watching a Netflix series, a Netflix original, Lost in Space. Maybe some of you saw this. It's Swiss Family Robinson, retold that instead of being lost on a boat, lost in space. And we watched the first episode, which was pretty intense. I won't give anything away, but I definitely learned that getting lost in space is not a good thing. It's very stressful. Lots of dangerous things happen. Lots of bad things happen. But there's a point which I want to highlight is towards the end when things seem to be getting darker and darker, kind of more intense, and actually the set itself is getting darker, harder to see. And all of a sudden, the music changes. Not only does the music change from kind of this somber thing to something upbeat, but all of a sudden a light, a powerful bright light, shines over this ridge and then suddenly upon the family themselves as they are in trouble. You know that, right? Whether you've seen that episode I'm talking about, maybe your favorite movie or other shows, you know what that's like when the music changes, right? Maybe the light changes, all of a sudden there's a light shining in darkness. You know there's a break in what's happened and something new is coming. That while things were bad, there is a hope that has arrived. And that's the case for Lost in Space in that episode. It's a case probably for many movies that we're familiar with. And I mention that because it helps us understand our passage from Genesis 12. After God had created the world and created humans in his image, after that good work that God did, much else after that, things were fallen and broken. Genesis basically 3 through 11, we begin to see the chaos of human sin, the fall, and this longing. We wish that things were the way they were supposed to be, not fallen as they are. And all of a sudden, in that kind of darkness and in that shadow, these words from Genesis 12 are a light. A light that something new is breaking forth. And it speaks to the question that was hovering around Genesis. Will God leave us in our sin? Will God leave us in our misery? In Genesis 12, we see the answer is no. That God speaks and God makes a promise in the midst of this chaos. Now, I don't know what you think about missions, what comes to mind when you think of missions. Maybe there's positive experiences, maybe negative ones. Or maybe we have a broad view, or maybe you have a very limited view that missions is something that used to be for the past, or for certain super Christians or certain super people. And what I want us to see this morning as we reflect on this light that God shines in Genesis 12 is that the broadest view we can of missions. That God has an answer of yes and of hope for all the nations. And that this call of missions is a call to join God in his work to renew and to make things different. And it's for all of us in all parts of our life. And that it's fundamental to being part of God's people is that we join him in this work that God's doing and this promise that he's made. So let's look at Genesis 12. This is verse 1 through 3. It's in your order of worship. You can follow along there or in your Bible. I should say that in this passage, I'm going to refer to him as Abraham because that's the name that he'll have, but here he's still called Abram. And so if I call him Abraham by accident, you forgive me. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is God's word given for our good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you've gathered us here. We thank you for a chance to be here in your presence with your people. And Lord, we know that you have called us from our individual schedules and questions and experiences, circumstances. You've called us to come and to gather in your presence that we could be reminded of who you are and your good word. We pray that by your Spirit you'd give us faith, that you'd turn our hearts to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned here in our passage, we see this breaking of a light, of a new music, a new song in the midst of chaos and despair. And as we reflect on that, there's three questions I want us to go through this morning to think about this broad view of missions. The first question is, what is the scope of God's mission? The second, how does God share his blessing? And the third, and the one we'll spend the most time on, is why is leaving attached to blessing? Why is leaving attached to blessing? So the first one, what is the scope of God's mission? Kind of gave it away a little bit in the introduction, but what we see in our passage is that God's vision, God's scope, is all the families of the earth, all the nations of the earth. The call to Abraham in our passage has two parts, two commands, two imperatives. Go and be a blessing. Go and be a blessing. And after each of these commands, there are these kind of three sub-clauses. Go, leave your country, leave your kindred, leave your father's house. In each of those three, it's kind of a narrowing. Your land, your broader people, and your father's house, your extended family. Leave those things and be a blessing. And then there's three more that broaden out. God says, I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and there'll be a blessing in your family on all the families of the earth. You see this expanding. God says, I will bless you, I will bless those who bless you, and through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham is to leave his family, is it? But the blessing doesn't just sit on his family. The blessing is for all the nations, all the families. And so we have to see right away is that God's vision, God's from the very beginning, concerns the blessing and the renewal of the ends of the earth. Five times, actually, in Genesis, if we read the whole book of Genesis, five times this is repeated to Abraham. My purpose for calling you is that all the nations will be blessed through you and your family. And so this work that I want us to see, it starts here. This light, this new music starts with the promise to Abraham. But it's the same promise that unfolds to the Scriptures, unfolds and unfolds in Christ and is fulfilled. We see in Revelation 7, towards the end of the Bible, we see that Jesus, the risen Christ, is on his throne, and around Christ is a people from every tribe and every nation and every language, that all the families of the earth are now gathered again around God. See, that's the scope of God's mission. It's not just for a few people. He doesn't tell Abraham just to go to your family or those who look like you, but to all the nations. So that's the vision of God. How does he share this blessing? How does this blessing go forth? And the short answer to that is people like you and me. That God does this work through his people. God has always called and created a people to be agents of his blessing, agents of his mission. If we have faith in Christ, then we are children of Abraham. If we have faith in God's promise, then we are part of that great night sky that Abraham saw, the stars of God's promise, that the descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. That star was lit for you in faith in Christ. And if we're part of that sky, part of those stars, then we are called to be a blessing. We have been blessed in Christ, and therefore we are to bless those around us close by, but also to bless even beyond our immediate family or those like us as God takes us. What comes to mind when you think about this way of God at work, that God brings forth his blessing through his people? A number of things come to my mind, but a couple of things. I think of two people. Lori Tanner, Bill Silva. These were students in my high school that became friends with me and invited me to a Bible study at my high school. We went to church for the most part, but I still have this very clear memory of going down to this basement in someone's home, and there were high school students having a Bible study. This might sound strange, but I was just blown away at the idea that you would look at the Bible outside of church. Why would you open the Bible outside of a church building? It never dawned on me that this would be something that would bring life or actually answer the questions or the wrestling that was in my heart. I don't even remember what we talked about that day, but I remember that place and that image, and it was the start of God introducing me into the joy and to the life found in His Word and His Gospel. But it was through Lori and Bill befriending me and inviting me. And in human terms, that's not an exaggeration to say that my life looks different because of how they blessed me, how they cared for me. We're invited to join in this work that God gives, that go and be a blessing. And I want to be clear that Abraham's call, the emphasis is on God's activity, on God's gracious movement. It's rooted in God's love and faithfulness, not in Abraham's or his wife Sarah's. It's always rooted in what God has done, God's initiative, God's graciousness to us, and that Abraham's role in faith is to receive, open hands to receive this gift that God gives. That Abraham is never the source of this promise, never the source of this blessing, but surely if he has faith to receive it, then he too is to share that blessing with others. For God says that he is to be a blessing, and that through him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And we can think about what that might look like. What would it look like for you and I to join with God in his work of remaking all things? Towards the end of Revelation, Christ is seated on his throne, and he proclaims, "Behold, I am making all things new." This is the promise of the gospel of Christ. And so God is the one who does that, but what would it look like for us to join in that work? Well, we can think about joining in the blessing of God as our Creator, and that looks like to affirm the value and the honor and the dignity of all of our neighbors. To affirm the blessing of God as our Creator is to seek the flourishing and the good and the growth of all those around us, those who are like us and those who are different, those who love us back or those who might be our enemies. God says that we are to bless all of them with the honor that comes from being made in the image of God. But we also join not just through honoring the created blessing, but we join in this blessing of redemption. That God is not only our Creator, but he has come to redeem us and to make us new. And so part of the blessing that you and I can participate in and invite people to see is to know the true and living God. You and I know, right, that there are all sorts of false hopes, false promises all around us. The Bible calls them idols. We're offered all sorts of false ideas of what will bring satisfaction, what would tell us what is true and who we are. And part of the blessing of Abraham, the promise of God in the midst of that chaos, was to find again the true and living God, the God that can speak to who we are, to actually forgive our sins and to bring life in the midst of our fear and shame, to walk us in a path of life, not of false promise. Go and be a blessing. We're told in our passage that God has commissioned all his people to be a blessing to all the nations. And it brings us to our third question, where I want us to spend some time and ask, why in our passage is Abraham's going or leaving attached to being a blessing? Why is blessing tied to Abraham leaving? We can read over our passage relatively quickly, and we can miss the significance of what Abraham would have heard or what God's asking. He says, go. Go from your land. Go from your kindred. Go from your father's house. These layers deepening of intimacy and identity and security. Who do you identify with as your country, your land, your geography? You need to leave that place. Who is your people, your race, your ethnic heritage? You need to leave your people. And who is your father's house, this shelter that you've grown up under, this family? You need to go. And we can ask, why is it that this is what's being asked? Why is this attached to becoming a blessing to the nations? That God is asking and inviting Abraham to let go of his identities and his securities to find new hope, new identity, and new security. Genesis 12, it's helpful for us to have this context. Genesis 12 comes right after Genesis 11. Imagine that. As I mentioned, Genesis 3 through 11 is a dark time with lots of chaos and the world entering into this fallen state of sin and misery. But right before we come to this light and new music that God gives in Genesis 12, we've encountered two things in particular. The Tower of Babel, and we've been told that Sarah and Abraham are barren. They long for a child, but are barren. And those two things, the tower and this barrenness, help us understand Genesis 12 and why they're called to new identities, new hope, and new security. The Tower of Babel, maybe you know that story. It's complex. Many people argue about what it means. But one thing that is clear in the Tower of Babel is that it is a story about human pride, a story about self-confidence, attempts at self-sufficiency, and all these attempts lead to futility and confusion. The story goes that there is a city that decides to build a great tower. This tower will be a symbol of their power, a symbol of the resources that they have. But instead of it becoming a symbol of human power, it becomes a symbol of false promises, of separation, instead of unity. It's an image of seeking to seize control of our own life, our image of finding our own way, but one that leads to disarray and disconnection. I recently saw a story about Olympic villages. Olympic villages. There was a story in particular about China. About 10 years ago, China hosted the Beijing Olympics. And the story was about how all the city spends all this resources to build new venues, to build villages, and then they are left abandoned. 10 years later, most of the things that had been built were no longer being used. They're just sitting there. And there was a picture in the article that caught my attention that two of the game's mascots, Nini and Ying Ying, these two mascots, one green and one red, these kind of cartoon figures, that instead of being portrayed at the front of the village, kind of these large, I think, resin statues, basically, they were laying face down, kind of in a bunch of these weeds, behind a half-built strip mall. Now that is a sad view, right? A sad scene. Mascots that were supposed to bring joy now laying down in the weeds behind a half-built strip mall. And this was the image, they said, of the work of the Beijing Olympics. This is what had been left. Now that's not a criticism of the Olympics, but it's a picture, right, of all this work and resources. And then suddenly you look at it and here is what the picture is. That's what the Tower of Babel is meant to help us think about. All these resources and all this work that we can kind of master our craft and we can build our resources and put them together, but we're left with false promises and emptiness. And it invites us to think about our own lives and the ways that we build and construct our lives, or the ways that we place our hope and how we will construct our marriage or our family, our work, our career, our reputation. And I know that there's some of us here this morning, some of us that feel the emptiness of that building project, that we've worked and we've worked to try to construct things a certain way, but we step back, we find ourselves dissatisfied, longing for security, longing for something that has not arrived. It's into that place that God has spoken a promise. It's from the ashes of the Tower of Babel that God makes a promise to the people there and to Abraham and to us, that our sin, our pride, our futility will not be the final word. But there is something else that he has promised for us in his blessing. Along with the empty pride of Babel, we're told about Abraham and Sarah. before this glowing moment of promise, Scripture first tells us that they were barren. They longed for a child, but they had grown old in age and they had no children. And this barrenness is not just a physical reality for this couple, but it becomes a metaphor, a symbol of what was happening. The lack of human power to bring about what we long for. The lack of human ability to make things the way we want them to be. And it's reflecting on this barrenness that we are to enter ourselves, to feel with Sarah and Abraham the deep ache and longing that they have, this longing for things to be different than what they have before them, a longing for a different future. And invited with Abraham and Sarah, whether right or wrong, for them to feel the shame of that and to feel the pain and suffering of that. It's into that situation of barrenness, into that place of hopelessness, that God offers a word of a future. God speaks of a future to a family without hope of a future. And God, in his graciousness, and God in making the promise be as radical and as breaking new ways as possible, a new start, he links his promise of blessing to the birth of a child of an utterly barren couple. He says, out of Abraham and Sarah, out of these who have passed the age of childbearing, out of these barren couple will come forth a child and a family that will bless all the families of the earth. And God does this to make clear that the hope that we have, the new identity, the new security that's being offered is in him and his graciousness. Just as out of the ashes of the Tower of Babel, we're invited to turn from our futility and resources to God. So out of the barrenness of Abraham and Sarah, we are invited to see that God alone can bring forth new life. As Romans 4 says, that God has the power to call into existence the things that do not exist. You see, that light and that new music that was coming is not rooted in Abraham or Sarah, but it's in God. And it's not just a new start for them, but it's a start for you and for me. Beyond identities resting in our appearance, beyond security in our resources, beyond identity in our family or in our people group, but rooted in God himself. See, our passage invites us to go, to leave, to depart from assumed identities and assumed securities. And it really is echoed by Jesus. Remember he who said, whoever would save his life, whoever cling to it, will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. God's inviting us to let go of old ways and old securities to find new things in him. Going is attached to blessing. Jesus has some encounters that speak of this new identity. When he was walking, there was a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 18 years. And in those 18 years, she is under the curse of her infirmity, under the curse of losing all her resources to it, under the curse of the reaction of others to her. But Jesus welcomes her. And do you know what he says to this one who has been hiding? He calls her a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of the promise. Your identity is not in your sickness, not in the opinion of others, not in your hiding, but is in God's graciousness to you. Later, Jesus sees Zacchaeus, the short tax collector that everybody in his town hates this person because he takes their money. Zacchaeus has been rejected, he's been judged by his neighbors. But Jesus goes and spends time at Zacchaeus' house. Jesus welcomes Zacchaeus. And you know what he calls Zacchaeus? Son of Abraham. Son of promise. Your identity is not in the actions that you've done, in the cheating, in the swindling that you did. Your actions can now be in the grace of God. Your identity can be in him. You and I are invited to become sons and daughters of Abraham, to know this blessing of God, no longer holding on to securities and identities that fall short, but finding grace of God in Christ. To know the joy of being called a son and daughter of promise. go and be a blessing. Our going or our departure, it might actually be leaving. God might call you to a new place, a new land, a new people. But that going and leaving, certainly, whether you stay or whether you go, that going is a new orientation. For us to be a blessing, we must find new securities, new identities in Christ that move us beyond ourselves, move us beyond our place, move us beyond our race or ethnicity or our group, move us beyond our family, to be willing to love and serve those to the ends of the earth. So when we embrace the blessing of God in Christ, that we ourselves can be a blessing. Go. Go and be a blessing. I pray that we would hear that, know God's grace, and share that light and music with each other and our neighbors. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're good and gracious to us. Lord, help us to let go of things that are false hopes. Let us let go of false security to find again your blessing, that by that way we may share that with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You feel the best.